Chai and the Dog. I'm your host Deepak.
And I'm Arshna.
And we have our dog Lulu. Hey guys, welcome back. Here we are again, Yoga, Chai and the Dog. Our dog is absent. Even in the last episode, she decided not to participate, you know, not to be in the recording room, which is, I don't know, really.
I think because her sister is here.
Oh, yeah.
Our daughter is here.
Yes, our daughter is here and she, like, just adores her. So probably she is spending time with her, you know, which is good. Okay. So in the last episode, we promised that we are going to talk about habits. So why are habits important? Why do we need to talk about habits, Archana?
If I would ask you the same question, what would you answer? Why do you want to maintain habits?
That's an interesting thing. I mean, sorry, I thought that probably, you know, I'll put you on the spot and get away with it. you just bounce it back. Anyway, habits to me are something that I want to do regularly without being aware of it. So something which I want to do, I do it enough that it gets ingrained in my day-to-day life.
Yeah. Is that correct? Yes. So if you would look at the spelling of habit, HABIT. Yeah. So if you take out H, a bit. Yeah. So you take a bit. So habit is built in days, not just you decide that, okay, this is. So it's very important, like what Deepak said, that consistency. Daily you do the same thing again and again, and the repetition comes. So brain has got three part, and once the three part mind, body, and when you get those habit into your subconscious mind. So like driving a car. So when you are driving, when you are a new driver, you all must remember that it was so scary because you don't know when to put the accelerator, when to put the brake, and when to start, and when to check the rear window. But now, if you are driving it for years, it has become into your subconscious mind that you know exactly what you are doing. So same with the habit, we break it. And we start keep on doing it again and again and again, and then the consistency come, and then we become, mind and body become one. So if it every action, so the body remembers it. It's like the PIN card when you are doing an ATM, you are taking money out. Sometime if somebody would ask you the PIN number, you would don't know the PIN number.
And but, even if you know, don't tell it.
Yeah, so your body remembers the number. So the minute you see, your hand would just go and type the number, because that's the body memory. Yeah, so we have to build habit in a way where it's mind, body, and you are doing this in a subconscious way, but you are conscious of your choices and how you are doing it. So that's,
yeah, my piano teacher tells me, because I still have issues with you know, with putting the right finger on the right key, and she keeps on telling me, no, you need to do it. Your fingers have got a memory. And I say, oh, come on.
Yes. Yeah.
I think she has a point there. Yeah. So why is a habit, why are we talking about habits?
We are talking about habits because in the last episode we talked about the resolution and why resolution failed. So this is how I work with any of my clients. I don't work on their diet and exercise merely. I work on their habits. So how I can bring their habits in the life, because whatever they are doing, it's not that they have, there is enough knowledge among the clients. I find they know what is wrong and what is right. Just building their habits, what they really want to continue for their progress is important.
So look, I think everyone knows what's the benefit of having a habit and how much they would tend to gain and everything. And we really don't want to repeat that. But I'm more interested in, why do some people do not make a habit? Where are the failure points? Where are the points that, you know, that they are, if I've tried to make a habit, you know, some habits, you know, form some habits for a long time. Some I succeed, some I don't succeed. Why is the reason that I don't succeed in those habits?
Initially when I started, I said that you start with your mind, actually. So you start thinking, okay, this is the habit which I really want to, like, let's say you want to give up your coffee, yeah? So I want to give up my coffee. This is the habit which I really want to follow, yeah? So what happened whenever we see the coffee, we go for the coffee, someday we say, oh, okay, you know, I'm my willpower. People think that it's a willpower and they would say, oh, my willpower is very strong. But the thing is, you really have to see what triggers that. So maybe the cafe. So for me, when I go to town, I see the cafe and that triggers my mind and body to have a coffee. Yeah. So that triggers coffee inside me. So first of all, to see what triggers. So a cafe. Yeah. And when you replace that cafe, if I want to give up my coffee, so what I have to do is
stop all the cafes.
Pardon?
Stop all the cafes, no more bread, no more pastas, no more stuff.
No, that's not possible. But the thing is, I could see what else can trigger, you know, what is the benefit of me not drinking coffee? So the benefit is I would save some money, definitely. Having a cup of coffee is expensive. You can have those things at home. So I can substitute it with something. So I might carry something on my bag, which would give me, like, initially it would not give me that kick. But after 20, 21 days, it would. So I would share one experience, what I follow with my coffee. I, again, you know, this is the second habit which I really needed to break, was I always like something with my coffee. So I can't drink just coffee as it is. So now some days what I do, I put some nuts in my bag and that's there. So I don't buy anything. So first of all, what is the reward? I save money of not buying anything with my coffee. And second is I know what I'm eating. You know, I am not eating anything what they are selling. So, you know, maybe if I like a biscotti, I love biscotti with my coffee. So I take one biscotti. One biscotti is like £2 something or £1.99 something. But if you buy a packet of, so this is how you save money, but this is building up as a reward. So the rewards make you go, but you need to do it frequently and with consistency. Then only you would see that you're not, and people really think that, okay, having a croissant is okay. Yeah. So one day, oh, it's fine, I will have croissant. Next day they will say, oh, it's too cold, I will have croissant. But this start building up on your waist and you really think, oh, I'm not losing weight. So what you could do is, instead of croissant, you take something from home, and with your coffee you will have that and replace it. For a few days you would find uncomfortable, because that is, your mind is so, it's so trained into telling you that, okay, croissant is good for you, not this one. So your body has to understand that this feels okay, and it can happen in 20-21 days. That's why you would see a lot of program which is 21 days, because people can break their habit in 21 days.
Oh, okay. I mean, money is important.
Yeah,
I understand. And you know, and if you don't have a biscotti, or if even if you decide to kind of not have coffee, definitely you'd be saving money. But quite a lot of time, it is not always about money. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So let me give you my example. I love my wine. And yes, of course, if I don't have wine, of course, I will save that £10, £15, whatever, which costs for a bottle. But then I enjoy that wine. I enjoy that, you know, that feeling after having that wine. So you can, as you gave an example, you know, and to a lot of people, like some people enjoy food, some kind of a food, might be fatty food or something or the other like that. So, yes, they will save money. Let's put aside money for a minute, because to a lot of people that may not be sufficient motivation to give it up. It is about the indulgence. Yeah, and how do you take care of that indulgence?
This is what Deepak, maybe I'm not clear here. This is the mind which plays trick. Mind says that you rest, because people generally have Friday, Saturday, Sunday having their wine or whiskey or whatever, because they really think that it relaxes them. This is the mind which plays that way. And once we understand our brain works like that in three portions, where one portion is about a lot of desires and comfort and all those. And that brain is really very strong. That dominates. So what we have to learn, this is what a habit does, is we have to learn to bring that subconscious, because this is our subconscious mind which says, oh, it feels really great to have a cup of coffee every morning. It feels really great to have wine. I'm not saying take out everything from your life, but if you really want to build some habit, so you really have to see that this is, what could I replace it with? So the replacement is very important, because if you like a glass of wine, so if let's say I replace it with my kombucha, or I replace it with my sparkling water, yes, it is not the same thing. I know this is not the same thing. But what you would say, what would be the reward in 21 days if I replace it? The reward would be my body would thank me. You would see a different energy in your body, your skin and everything. So when we start seeing the reward of that, the chances of our bringing that habit in our life is greater when we see anything reward. So what happened when we give up, like a lot of people I have read that I don't drink so much. I'm an occasional drinker. So it's...
Occasional, you drink once a year.
So if people who has given up drink for like a month of November and they say that in December, they find that some people, they don't come back to drinking again because they really think that they can do very well without that drink. So it's like training your body and mind to be together, and that what subconscious was to have a wine, it replaces with to have a water, or maybe have some kombucha or kefir, whatever you like. So
sorry, what is kombucha?
It's a different topic. Kombucha is a fermented drink. Yeah,
but so is wine.
Wine is kombucha is sorry, like it's good for your health, but yeah. Wine, it's, I'm again, you know, this topic is, we are going to cover on emotional eating when we will talk about it. So it's the nourishment part, where sometime having a glass of wine is good with your friends and everything, but if you make it like a habit that like I really love my glass of wine and this is your habit, so and it's very, habit is something which is very hard to give up, and the mind convince you that it is a comfort food.
And actually that's where I was coming. So to a lot of people, okay, fine, that money may not be an issue, yeah, but then they still want to give up a habit, or probably, you know, build a habit. And how do they overcome that dominant mind, which kind of tells you, oh, you know what, your weekend is completely gone because you are just having kombucha or water or nothing.
Sometimes don't replace it with kombucha or kefir or water, whatever I'm saying. I'm just giving you examples. Yeah. Sometimes it's very good that if you, like let's say at 5 or 6, you want to have a glass of wine. So if you just make it a... First, it would be really not comfortable to you, but you make it a point that, okay, I would go out and just have a walk for 15-20 minutes, and I would come back and I will have my sparkling water or something. So you do it something different, really very different, that also works in breaking your habit. So that's why habit, breaking the habit is very, very important when that habit is not serving you.
Okay, fine. We talked a lot about wine. A lot of people struggle with losing weight. Is that also a habit? What habit should they, you know, they take up, or what habit do they need to give if they want to lose weight?
They definitely need to give up something. What they have been doing, it has not worked.
Yes, of course, their weight.
not just weight, the mindset first of all. So, you know, if somebody would come to me and they would say that, oh, they have done, they eat very healthy, they exercise, they do this. So maybe there is a medical condition. So you have to see your doctor if there is a medical condition. The second thing is maybe... that person just needs some looking inside what they are doing wrong, and which is not helping them to lose weight. So introducing a habit is something like some people, they really think their habits are really good. And I think that when you would talk to them and they lie on their food diary also, whatever they are eating. So it's sometimes it's just nudging them and telling them that, okay, take one habit. Like like if somebody come to me and they want to lose weight, the one habit I would say that eat your dinner, lunch, breakfast, whatever you are doing, eating is in a moment when there is no telly, nothing, and you are chewing your food and eat it. Really chewing your food. That is the first habit, I would say. And people would say, oh, well, by chewing my food, what do you mean? Because you slow down, your digestion become, and you feel really content and you feel full after a few spoons, because you are more focused on eating rather than your energy is going all over the place. So that's the first habit.
And at least I'll share my experience. So I've heard you a number of times, you know, telling your clients, you know, not to have the phone when you are eating, not to eat at the desk, you know, when you are working and eating, or before a telly. So I would kind of like, oh yeah, fine. I wouldn't follow that. But actually, I've started doing it over last couple, well, at least a year. I've started doing that. That number one, I don't eat food at my desk. I always go to the cafeteria and eat it. And I do not look at my phone. So I finish my food and you know what? Actually, then you start, how do I say?
Enjoying.
No, yeah, you start actually, you know, noticing the flavor. You notice the flavor and then you, so it's not that I try to chew it slowly or whatever. I eat at my normal pace, yeah. But the fact that there is no distraction as in a mobile phone when I'm looking at Twitter or when I'm looking at Instagram, you know, it helps me enjoy the food more. So I've started doing it and I enjoy it. Hmm. Yeah. Okay. Hmm. And there was one more point which I wanted to add. I forgot. You continue.
So it's very important that you take your time and eat your food slowly, chew it. And then you would connect with the food, because food is energy. Food is energy, and that is the energy which is coming inside your body. Yeah, so it's something very simple. People think it's very simple, but people find it really very hard to follow this rule. So I would not say that if you really have not done this, just take one meal at a time. One meal at a time, not breakfast, not lunch, not dinner. Take it the meal when you can be at peace, when your children are on bed. Maybe dinner time is the best time for you. Lunch, breakfast, you decide. Take one meal and for 21 days follow that chewing your food and without any distraction.
Yeah, and the second one, which it came back to me what I wanted to say. So we were watching this program last year, what was that, Secret Eaters?
Secret Eaters. Was in Amazon.
It's on Amazon, and we're watching it. And essentially, you know, what they are doing is, people who say, oh, I eat very healthy, or I eat just two meals a day, or and you know, and what they do is, they, with their permission, they rig the house with cameras, and they also have PIs, you know, following them. And then they tell them that, look, you say that your food diary says that you only have two meals a day or three meals a day and you eat very healthy, but subconsciously they are kind of, you know, they are picking up things here and there and they are eating it, and they add to the calories. So one thing that you may need to do is be conscious what you're doing.
I think that this is the mindful eating, because when I work with any of my clients, so we have habits, but in every habits there is a practice which is a mindfulness practice. So one practice I would share here, which we say that have a cashew or maybe some cranberries or something in your hand. Take a few of these in your favorite bowl or something, and just make it sure you're not going to take two at a time, just one. And one also, you could bite it, make it smaller pieces, and then eat slowly. You would be surprised to know after five or six of cranberries, you would think, oh, it's enough for me, or maybe 10, yeah? So you will not have a full hand of cranberries or anything. So this is a mindfulness practice where you are very focused with how you are eating, and your mind is completely into it. And then you would start noticing the flavor, how chewy it is. Does it has got sugar coating, and everything you start noticing about that food. And that's a mindfulness practice. And that's why it's very good that your brain become into a system where at that time at the food, where the digestion become really, really very efficient because we calm down. So this is also very important. That's why chewing slowly is a very important lesson and a habit.
Yeah. But what I was trying to say was that quite often we are not conscious of our eating habits. Yeah.
That is a different habit which we would take. We are talking about slow eating. That is how much you know, this is again, another habit which you have to make, that okay, you have three meals and two snacks maybe. Yeah?
Yeah.
So in three meals and two snacks, and snacks every time, you would make it a promise that whatever you are eating, maybe a piece of cake or a biscuit or whatever you eat, or maybe a fruit, you just sit on your place and have it in just one or two, not like standing in kitchen platform and having here and there. So that is binge eating.
Yeah.
I
like the term that they use was grazing.
Grazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is the term.
Which is used. Yeah, because typically, like you're cooking and you see something and a box of peanuts, fine. A handful goes in your mouth and here are some biscuits. Okay, one biscuit goes, and you don't actually realize it. And one thing which really was an eye-opener for me, at least, they did this experiment and where they said that, so in the office, at one side, they kept food which was plainly visible, not food, chocolates and everything, which was plainly visible and reachable, yeah? And on the other side of the office, they had the same chocolates and the same biscuits and everything, but put in a bowl, which was which was not transparent. So it was a ceramic bowl and they put it over there and it was put a bit away from the desk, so actually you have to get up and do it. And they realized that when in the first case, people ate much more than what they did. So even if you want to kind of desist from eating, and you are carrying some, even if it is good thing or something like that, put it away, put it in your locker, put it somewhere else where probably you will need to take 10 steps to go and then take it. So you're working and something, and it's not that you immediately reach out, take it in your mouth and be done with it.
This is what I was talking about, that habit is like it triggers. So this is the trigger point. What you are saying is like, so in eating psychology, we have learned about this, that how having your own bowl, like small plate, and you eat in that plate and it's your favorite plate and thing. And people really think these things really works, and you see different color of food. That is also something which is very good for your eyes, and you feel like you can, with very little, you get satisfied. It's not I'm saying that you don't eat. You eat whatever you want to eat, but the thing is, it should not be like overeating. So same with those type of bowels and everything. It's a the mind plays differently, and is the psychology behind it.
Let me share something with you. I haven't told you before. So in my office, in the cafe, they have got this a lot of sweets. So one of them is like jelly beans, and I love jelly beans. So typically what I do, it's in a big container, so you can scoop you can take scoops, and then they and then you pay for it. So I get them and I keep them in my locker. So around, in the afternoon or something, when I feel like it, I will go to the locker, which is probably about, at least 50 steps away from where I sit. I go there, then I'll pick two or three of them. Yeah. And then I'll bring it to my desk and I will eat one at a time, because when I bought the jelly beans and I kept it on my desk, and in the evening when I was about to go, and to my horror, I realized that probably I had finished all of it and said, oh no, it's going to stay in my locker. Not daily, but whenever I do, I just go and take two or three out. And now it helps me, when I buy something, when I buy some of it on Monday, it probably lasts me 2 weeks. So that's something that you need to think about.
Yeah, same like if you love cakes and everything, so a lot of time it's very good if you are really wanted to lose weight and everything. So don't bake a full cake for yourself. Yeah, so because it's, you would bake it in the name of your children and husband and wife or whatever, but you would finish it. Yeah, if you are one of those. So you really have to think that, okay, this is my, like in a month, I will go out and have a good piece of cake somewhere. Yes, I know it is expensive, but the thing is, it's not money only here, because you're trying to introduce a new habit. So having that cake at home, baking that cake and think that, oh, it will go into a waste bin, it's better option to have a piece of cake once in a month, go somewhere, have a good cup of coffee and a cake with that. And that can also help sometimes. So it's not taking out everything from your life. We are human. We would still get, some temptation and everything. But doing it like mindfully, what you are doing.
Yeah. And also as your friend, it's our duty to help you. So if you have really baked a nice cake, and then as Archana says, don't have all of it, have a piece of cake, pack the remaining in the box and bring it to us. we will duly acknowledge it. Now, even if you love baking and you baked a cake and have a piece, then pack the remaining, take it to work, offer it to your friends. They would always love you for that. Yeah, and so sometimes just not about enjoying the cake, but the enjoyment starts from baking itself.
Yeah, it's like sometimes it's a nourishment. So we will talk about that also later on in next episode on eating psychology. So if you have made some resolution regarding weight or exercise, and if you are struggling, and if you really want to, if you like this type of stuff, habit-based, so there are a lot of coaches who work on these type of things, like they break the habits, so they don't give you any diet, but they would teach you how to have a lifestyle which you could have forever, not for just one season or one few months.
Yeah, and I remember, the year before last, you actually ran a year-long
habit a month. Yeah, there was a girl, she lost 20 kg in that program.
20 kg?
Yeah, she lost 20 kg. She was from Manchester, and she lost 20 kg in that program. And she said she did walking, she just followed the habit. And soon when you start feeling you are healthy, and then in between she joined gym. I didn't force her for anything like that. I just asked her to, and she religiously followed the habit. So she was one of the most successful one. But unfortunately, she didn't wanted me to name her. So I'm not doing that. But yes,
but she lost. I think the interesting part was, like, you know, when Archana started off with that program, I said, oh my God, it's a year-long program. How many people are going to sustain it? But I think you just took 10.
Yeah. There was 10, and there were just few of them. That is what I'm because people want 3 minutes dinner cooked, 5 minutes. So everything is quick fix. So people want that. But people who stayed with that program, they really, that was 20 kg was the maximum. There was one who lost 5 kg. There was one who lost 6. It depends, you know, how much you have to lose and how you know, and it's like they didn't do it religiously for 12 months, but they still did it like 90% of that.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Right, guys, so do let us know whether what we talked about right now resonates with you. Do share your experience about habits. If you have got a questions, please do write to us. You know, our email ID is yoga.chai.dog@gmail.com. You can communicate to us on Twitter. Our Twitter handle is @YogaChaiDog1, that's number one. Yeah, you can even send us a message on Instagram. It is @YogaChaiDog. We'd love to hear from you. And our next episode is going to be on the psychology of eating, and that is going to be equal. So, if you have something, subscribe us on on your pod channel, so that way you would never miss an episode. And The new episodes will be downloaded to you directly, automatically, so you don't need to worry about it. And do keep writing. This is us signing bye on this episode.
Bye.
Bye-bye.